Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Therefore, if you were raised with Christ, look for the things that are above where Christ is sitting at God's right side. Think about the things above and not the things on earth. You died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. So put to death the parts of your life that belong to the earth, such as sexual immorality, moral corruption, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. The wrath of God is coming upon disobedient people because of these things. You used to live this way when you were alive to these things, but now set aside these things, such as anger, rage, malice, slander, and obscene language. Don't lie to each other. Take off the old human nature with its practices and put on the new nature, which is renewed in knowledge by conforming to the image of the one who created it. In this image, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all things in all people. Therefore, as God's choice, holy in love, put the compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Be tolerant with each other, and if someone has a complaint against anyone, forgive each other. As the Lord forgave you, so also forgive each other. And over all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. The peace of Christ must control your hearts, a peace into which you were called in one body. And be thankful, people. The word of Christ must live in you richly. Teach and warm each other with all the wisdom by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do, whether in speech or actions, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus and give thanks to God the Father through him.
If the Bible isn't a science book, instruction manual, or position paper, then what is it? Join La Jolla United Methodist Church on a journey of rediscovery as we explore together the magic of the Bible. Using modern scholarship and analysis, let's explore familiar stories anew and fall in love with Scripture all over again.
Sometimes I like to ask you questions and I want you to respond. Most often it's by show of hands, and that's what kind of question this one is. So I would like to know by show of hands, how many of you, whether it's maybe in choir rehearsal or maybe most of us are done with school, not all of us, but maybe it was in school or classes, maybe at work, maybe any kind of situation like that. But the question is this, how many of you have ever passed notes in any of those situations? Oh my goodness, most of us have passed notes in those situations. And what was the worst possible thing that could happen from passing one of those notes? You get caught and it gets read out loud. That's even worse than if just, you know, the one person that the note is about picks it up and reads it. Because then the whole group, the whole class, the whole choir, the whole office, everybody gets your note. It sort of scares us, doesn't it? We don't want somebody reading our personal and private communications, do we? So now let's talk about the letters that Paul wrote to the churches. Do you see what I'm saying? These are personal letters to a church. Do you think that Paul had any idea that those letters would be canonized into something that we take as sacred? Does this challenge you today? If your answer is yes, my response is good. I think our faith should challenge us. I think our faith should stretch us. I think the words that we find here should move us and cause us to respond individually and collectively. So if you've ever had that moment where you passed the note and you were worried about it getting picked up by not the intended recipient, imagine Paul, who had lots of notes, lots of letters that he wrote, that we receive very often and we understand because there are some timeless things. Paul was a brilliant writer. If you are someone who has studied or knows ancient Greek, that's not me, by the way, but if you are that person, you understand that Paul's Greek prose are beautiful. And he says timeless things, doesn't he? We have some examples of a few things that Paul wrote. And listen, we have the letters from Paul, right? And you've heard me say the letters from Paul are our earliest Christian writings. They predate the Gospels. They are our earliest Christian writings. But Paul's letters aren't the only ones. Here's a little bit more useless trivia that you can, the next time you have a trivia night, you get this. Do you know why Paul's letters are ordered in the way that they are? Say it again. Size, that's right, longest to shortest. Gold star to Mary Jane. So Paul's letters come first, and they're ordered from longest to shortest, and then all the stuff not written by Paul, right? Peter, I'm drawing a blank, but you know the ones I'm talking about. And then we close with Revelation, okay? So all the letters, the epistles is what we call them. So here are some quotes from the epistles. Cam's got them. Well, let's put them up on the screen. Say again? Cameron doesn't have them. All right. Then I will read them to you. Timeless verses from the epistles. I hope some of these sound familiar. Love is patient. Love is kind. It isn't jealous, it doesn't brag, it isn't arrogant. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Also from Paul out of Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against things like this. Timeless and beautiful. 1 Corinthians 12, Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit and has many parts, and all the parts of the body are one body, even though there are many. A favorite among youth groups around the world, from 1 Timothy 4:12, don't let anyone look down on you because you were young. Another letter, this one from James, one of my favorites. Faith is dead when it doesn't result in faithful activity. You may have heard another translation, faith without works is dead. Timeless. Beautiful. Other verses from the epistles. When you come, bring along the coat I left with Carpus and Troas. Also bring the scrolls and especially the parchments. I've never preached on that verse before. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 16. Oh, I baptized the house of Stephanas too. Otherwise, I don't know if I baptized anyone else. From Titus. You ready? Someone who is one of their own prophets said, people from Crete are always liars, wild animals, and lazy gluttons. This statement is true. And lastly, from 2 Corinthians, I'm going to ask you if y'all did this. All of the brothers and sisters greet you. You, in turn, should greet each other with a holy kiss. Anybody? Anybody get a holy kiss this morning? Cam raised his hand. All right. We're going to talk, my child. There are timeless texts out of the epistles. There are timeless quotes. But let us not forget what these letters are. They are letters written to particular communities in a particular time. These are letters written to a particular community at a particular time. Does this mean we cannot gain great wisdom out of these? No, of course it doesn't mean that. Because we all know in our souls that love is patient and kind. But we also know in our souls that we can learn great and meaningful and incredible things from the women in our midst. Don't we? We know in our souls that men who have long hair are not necessarily to be cast aside and ignored. That's from Paul too. Or that women who have short hair should be treated the same. So what do we do? We've been engaging in this sermon series based on the book Inspired, Slaying Giants, Walking on Water, and Loving the Bible Again, written by the late Rachel Held Evans. I confess to you that I am not well read when it comes to Ms. Evans. I should be, because this is good. I spoke with someone this morning who said, I love this series. I'm really sorry that this is the last one, because I've been following along the book and it really is meaningful for me. Evan's goal, her stated goal in this book, is to look at our sacred text in new ways, not to discount, not to put our imaginations or our intellect on hold, but so that we might be inspired. And to pair it with something I've been preaching on for months, what is it that we do when we're inspired? We respond. We respond. When we are inspired, we respond. When somebody comes to you and says, I have this great restaurant recommendation, aren't we inspired to go check out that restaurant? When someone comes, we have some voracious readers in this congregation. When someone comes to you and says, I'm so excited about this book I've been reading, aren't we inspired to go and check that book out of our fantastic library or go over to Warwick's and pick it up and read it ourselves? Aren't we inspired to respond? And whether or not we're reading something from Paul or the other letters, the other epistles, whether or not we read it as a quote that is particularly timeless or one that makes us giggle a little bit because it's talking about those Cretans, we might respond. And as I said earlier, I believe that we can respond individually, but I suggest to you that that is not enough. I think that we have to respond in community. One of the things I love about the United Methodist Church is we talk about being a connectional church. We are not only this community of faith, La Jolla United Methodist Church, we are a connectional church. We are a connected church with churches around the San Diego region. But, you know, if you know the way some of our districts and our annual conference are broken up, you might know that we are connected with our siblings up at University United Methodist Church in Irvine, where my friend Kathy Kapp is such a capable pastor. You might know that we're connected with Community United Methodist Church in Huntington Beach, where my friend and mentor, the Reverend George Hooper, is the pastor. We're connected. As our annual conference secretary, I'm abundantly clear on the connection and the dynamics and sometimes the ways different personalities bring real difficulties in getting stuff done, and yet we find a way. Why? Because we remember, in the timeless words of Paul, that we are all a part of the body. If everyone's a bishop, what work is going to get done? If everyone is an organizer, who's going to inspire us? If everyone is a moving speaker, who's going to help us work out the finances and the money? If everyone is a gifted and capable musician, who's going to help us make sure the flowers are beautiful? If everyone lives in La Jolla, then how are we going to bring meaningful change in response to a hurricane in Puerto Rico? We're connected, and we are a community, and we ebb and we flow. I want you to put yourselves in these shoes. I want you to imagine that you are in a faith community, perhaps in Thessalonica. And you got that first letter from Paul, and maybe you're waiting for the second one. And can you imagine the excitement when the word spreads around the town? We've got another letter from Paul the Apostle. Can you imagine gathering together in a meeting place, probably in someone's home, and hearing those first words from Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God our Father and in Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to all of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine sitting in that room and hearing those words? Can you imagine being in Corinth? You've already received that first letter. You want to hear from the apostle again because you have so many questions. And beyond that greeting, then you hear these words when it's read out loud to that community. That's why I wrote this very thing to you, so that when I came, I wouldn't be made sad by the ones who ought to make me happy. Uh-oh. I have confidence in you. I wrote to you in tears with a very troubled and anxious heart. I didn't write to make you sad, but so you would know the overwhelming love I have for you. What then do we do? When Paul writes something like, "Slaves, obey your masters," that suggests that a woman's place is subservient to her spouse. And I would suggest that Evans helps with this too, in reminding us that Paul's writing a particular letter at a particular time to a particular community. And why is that important? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 9, "To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, though I'm not free of God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means save some." Paul tells us that he writes to these communities and he knows his audience. Can we still learn and grow from the timeless things that Paul has to say? Can we understand that when Paul says, "Wives, submit to your husbands," that Paul is writing to a particular audience, understanding the cultural restrictions under which they lie? And without upending the law, Paul adds something else. Husbands, love your wives. Paul advocates for freedom of the slaves. And Paul reminds us that they're no longer slave or free, male or female, Jew or Gentile. Maybe what we can take for these deep and rich and sometimes timeless and sometimes hilarious portions of Paul's letters and the other letters is a glimpse. A glimpse of the story of that church in a particular time. How can we learn from a church's story, from the snapshot, from the glimpse that we have, that we're able to see through Paul's words and the words of James and the words of Peter? How can we learn from that brief Polaroid of the story of a church? And then what is our story? Because our story here at La Jolla United Methodist Church is going to be a different story than University UMC up in Irvine, and it's going to be different from Community UMC up in Huntington Beach. It's going to be different from the story over in Pacific Beach. It's going to be different from the story over at First Church San Diego. It's going to be different from the story of our Lutheran friends up the street and our Presbyterian friends up on the hill. It can be different from the story of our MCC friends. How will La Jolla United Methodist Church tell our story? One of the first churches I was ever appointed to is before I went to seminary. In our tradition, we call it being a licensed local pastor. Small church in Piru, California. If you don't know where Piru is, that's okay. I didn't either. A small one-room church. It started out as a one-room church. They added on right around the turn of the 20th century. It was in complete disarray, but still had the pieces of the oldest pipe organ on the western seaboard. When I first started there, my first Sunday, you know how many people were in church? Have I told you this story before? Yeah, you know how many there were? I was there for a year. You know how many there were when I left? 8. 100% growth. No apologies. That church is now closed. For a lot of different reasons. I had the privilege of serving as a, for lack of a better phrase, a youth pastor at Pasadena First United Methodist Church. Right on Colorado Boulevard. They build bleachers in front of the church on Christmas Eve. Before Christmas leading up to New Year's Eve. Beautiful Gothic building. Our church is different from that church's story. That church struggles and does incredible work in the community. What is our story? And importantly, how does your response to God's work in your life change the story of La Jolla United Methodist Church? Because I tell you, if your response to God's work in your life doesn't change the story of the La Jolla United Methodist Church, then we're going to have some hard decisions to make. But also I have faith. I have faith in prophetic leaders who might send letters, who might say words of inspiration, who might simply stand up with a great idea and inspire us to do something as connection and community so that we might change the story of La Jolla United Methodist Church. Not that the story is bad so far, but change it so that we might continue to have a profound impact on our community. That we might continue to reach out, that we might continue to nurture children in the ways that we do, that we might find new ways to nurture youth, that we might find new ways to nurture and welcome young families, that we might find new ways to be a center of faith and community and joy and hope in La Jolla, right next to Bird Rock. How will your response to God's work in your life affect, change, impact, grow the story of La Jolla United Methodist Church? The Apostle Paul helps us have a glimpse, a snapshot of the stories of churches in Corinth, in Philippi, in Thessalonica. How will we write the story of La Jolla United Methodist Church? We have a story to tell, my friends. Let's tell it together. Amen. One quick preview before Pastor Tara comes up. I want you to know that next Sunday we start our stewardship campaign. Our stewardship campaign, don't for a second think that our stewardship campaign is limited to a request for money, because I would suggest that's an incomplete view of stewardship. When we took membership vows, how do we affirm that we would support the ministries of the church? There are five of them. Do you remember? Prayers, presence, gifts, service, witness. We will talk about all of these things. And I would suggest that your response to God's work in your life is through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. Don't think we are done talking about writing the story of La Jolla United Methodist Church.
Your response changed the story of La Jolla United Methodist Church. I think it's best to leave that question in the air this morning. And part of our story is our connection as community. And Ernie is going to tell us about a way that we can connect with one another.
Good morning again. I'm Ernie Mortensen. And 2 weeks ago, I shared with you a program that the Explorer Group was embarking on. We meet every Sunday morning, about 8:30, and we discuss many, many subjects. But 2 weeks ago, we were discussing the ravages of COVID-19 and what it's done to isolate us from family, friends, etc. And so we concluded that the same thing was probably happening to our congregation, and that we needed to reach out and touch everyone, just to see how things are going. So we're very fortunate to have 17 people that are going to be calling 151 families. That's about, for you doing the math out there, that's about 8 or 9 people per caller. And we're going to be doing it over the next 2 weeks. So in addition to reaching out to touch you, we're going to ask probably a few questions. And probably the most important one is what are your suggestions for enhancing your relationship with the church? In addition, we may verify some of your contact information, because we've noted in doing some preliminary work that we're missing some telephone numbers that we don't have. But we're going to reach out to these 151 families over the next 2 weeks. But here's the big question. What happens if you don't get called? What happens if nobody calls you? Well, it's probably because we don't have your telephone number. So we need a solution for that. And here's the solution I came up with. You call me. You call the church office and you say, I really like to have Ernie's telephone number. And I know my last name isn't the easiest thing in the world to remember, but if you think about Sesame Street and that two guys, Bert and Ernie, everybody remembers Ernie, right? Just say, I need Ernie's telephone number. And to be honest with you, that should be real easy, because I am the only Ernie in the entire congregation. So I know you'll get the right telephone. So we look forward to responses from everyone. So please respond, and we thank you. God bless.